8:01 on a Saturday morning, and you are in the zone on the Fan. Trent has flown back from the royal wedding. He's here to join us, and we will talk all things hoops for the next couple of hours. Great to be with you, as always, on what Bump likes to call a murky Saturday morning in the Twin Cities. We'll get your game on over the next couple hours. I'm Dave Sinekin. He is the professor of hoopology. If there was any chance either of us would be invited to the royal wedding, it would have been him and not me, Double T, Trent Tucker, in the house.
What's doing, Davey?
Didn't make it, huh?
I just made my way back from across the big pond.
That Concorde is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's an absolute beautiful
thing. You call MJ and get on this private jet and be back in a few hours.
Do you know anybody who went there? Like any that
no.
you know of?
No.
No. I actually know a friend of mine threw a party this morning. I don't even know what time the actual nuptials were spoken, but she invited the whole friends, neighbor, come out over.
5 a.m., 6 a.m.?
Yeah, let's have a party and watch the wedding. It's something I don't quite comprehend, but, you know, they probably wouldn't want to watch hoops all day like I do, so that's the way it goes. Great to be with you. We will break down the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. Both NBA Conference Final Series resume this weekend. Game threes as the scenes shift to Cleveland and Oakland. But
it started with hockey first. I saw two great games the last two nights.
Look at you taking charge. That's not where I was going, but okay, I'll give it to you.
Well, we got to get our hockey take in early.
We do?
Yeah, for the first, 30 seconds.
Well, I don't know that it needs to lead the show. We could, come back at 8:40 from a break and give you your minute, but all right, let's go.
It's 30 seconds. It's 2-2.
You can have a minute.
2-2 Caps. Tampa Bay. You know.
Is that resumed today?
No home team has won on the ice yet.
I heard that. I heard part-time guy Zach say that on Bumper to Bumper.
Yeah. And then last night, I'm watching the Vegas and Winnipeg. 2-2.
Where was that game played last night?
Vegas. Winnipeg turns the puck over late in the third. Guy named Smith jumps on it. Lights out.
So
ball game's over, yeah.
So Vegas leads 3-2. They are a game away from
3-1.
Reaching, sorry. Vegas leads 3-1. Really? I thought you said it was
Caps and
the other one.
Tampa
okay.
Bay.
Gotcha.
Tampa Bay are 2-2.
So Vegas is one win away from being in the Stanley Cup Finals as
yes,
an expansion team.
Right.
How do you not root for them, right?
And I thought that, when Ovechkin went to Tampa Bay, and they won two straight, that he would be very close to his first, Stanley Cup Final.
I'm starting to think the only reason you brought this up was so you could say Tampa Bay a couple times.
That's true.
That is true,
isn't it? That's true.
Can we go to bigger?
I'm done now.
Good, because Timberwolves Twitter Nation is in an absolute tizzy. I don't know how many of you who live and die with the Wolves actually slept last night, if you saw the reports that were all over Twitter. We'll try to make some sense of it here before we get into the actual basketball being played. It wasn't that long ago that the Minnesota Timberwolves were actually playing in playoff basketball. These are games that happen after the regular season is over. Some teams are qualified to continue playing, and the Wolves were among those teams this year for the first time in 14 years. The night they got into the playoffs, the win over Denver was celebratory. It was 14 years of anguish wiped out. Wolves Nation celebrating a team that reached the playoffs, and we know it didn't last long against the top-seeded Rockets, but future is bright. You've got a cornerstone in Karl-Anthony Towns. You've got Anthony Wiggins that hopefully will reach the next level. Jimmy Butler. Blah, blah, blah. Last night, we're greeted with a report from Bleacher Report that the relationship between the cornerstone, said cornerstone, Karl-Anthony Towns, and the organization is, quote, icy. Now, when you say the organization, I'm going with Tibbs, that the relationship with Kat and Tibbs is icy. This is a report from the Bleacher Report that, of course, exploded on Twitter last night, and apparently, he got the story listening to the Zach Lowe podcast. And yeah, he's a good basketball guy.
Okay,
he had Brian Windhorst on, who obviously is sort of the Adam Schefter, one of the Adam Schefters of the NBA. And Zach Lowe reported that Towns and the Wolves are not in a good place internally. Brian Windhorst chimed in that when they were talking about, do you ever think of trading Anthony Davis? I guess that was a conversation And the answer was no. But Windhorst chimes in, it would not be unheard of if Karl-Anthony Towns surfaced in trade discussions this offseason. And that's what's got Wolves Nation, and rightfully so, in a complete tizzy. Now, we don't know exactly where things stand. There were unpublished reports about 10 days ago that Tibbs and Layden got into it at 600 First Avenue. Tibbs reportedly threw a monitor at a window. Things are not, they're not holding hands singing Kumbaya this spring. Let's just go there. Trent, you hear those words, you hear those thoughts from Windhorst. What jumps to your mind? I mean, could you actually believe the Wolves would entertain moving on from, you know, one of the great young big men in the league right now?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You can, it's believable. I mean, at some point in time, if two parties can't coexist and the guy who's in charge is not going to remove himself, then somebody has to go. And most likely, if this is true, or if, you know, these rumors are close to being true, then the owner has to make a decision on who is he going to keep. I know what choice I would make.
Yeah, you'd quickly wish Tibbs well in his future endeavors and find a new coach.
Because I don't know if I'm going to get much in return for Karl-Anthony Towns that's going to give me what Karl-Anthony Towns brings to the team.
Right. You already don't have leverage because the other teams know that there's a problem here.
Well, the Pelicans are not going to trade Anthony Davis.
No.
He wouldn't be the right fit for the Spurs for Kawhi Leonard, but we don't know if Leonard is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Can't see Boston breaking up their young team for him.
Well, they have enough enticing pieces where they might be willing to, if they got Horford.
Right, so where else do you go?
Yeah.
Can't see if James decides to stay in Cleveland, Cavaliers would make that deal. I mean,
you're not going to get a top five, top
right.
player.
So if these rumors are somewhat true, yeah, it's shaky times right now at Target Center.
But what is the underlying issue here? Do you think it's that, you know, we know that there were reports, you know, Tibbs is tough on these young guys, and he didn't hide his displeasure at times with some of the things Cat did or Wiggins did. I think he was a little softer on Wiggins maybe because maybe the perception is that, you know, Andrew doesn't respond so well to negative criticism. Some guys do, some guys don't. I don't know if Towns does either. But Tibbs, there were plenty of quotes after games where Carl had to do this and Carl had to do that, and I don't know how that affects a young guy. We tend to forget, what is he, 21 still? I mean, he's so young.
They both are.
They both are. And maybe, you know, Tibbs' style is certainly not for everyone. The veterans have embraced it. Guys like Butler and Gibson and Rose embrace that style. Not everybody does. But it's just, it's amazing for longtime followers of this organization. It's like you can't have contentment. You can't have any kind of peace of mind as a fan of the Timberwolves, whether it's horrible play on court or you finally have your two, you know, Garnett and Marbury, and then one guy wants out. There's always something that just sticks a stake in your heart when you think, all right, we finally are moving in the right direction. 2 years ago, they hired Tibbs, reportedly 5 years, $40 million, which means Taylor's on the hook for another three and 24, if that is a correct number. It's close to that. Might be more for all we know. You don't just fire a guy who you owe $25 million to. I mean,
yeah, you can.
With Taylor, yeah. I mean, he's,
well, I mean,
it's not going to cause him to, you know, head to the food bank or anything.
Well, with the type of money that's coming into the NBA today, you know, it's not unheard of, you know, to fire someone with $24 million left on the table compared to how it was 25, 30 years ago. You know, no, you can afford to do that. But if these rumors are, like I said, true or somewhat true, then the owner of the team has to sit down with the two of them to see how he can get them to coexist. And if he can't, well, then he has to make a choice.
I would think if he had to make the choice, he knows that if he polled Wolves fans, it would be 100% to 0% on who to keep. I just wonder, because I don't know Glenn Taylor, but he seems like the more, you know, a mild-mannered conservative type. And he sits
Not
in business, obviously. Well, he's cutting a deal.
Well, he has some fire in his belly. I mean, to be a billionaire. I mean, so you've been in some serious fights before.
No question.
To get
You're right.
to where he's gotten to.
That's true. I guess my point was, he sits, you know, within 5 feet of Tibbs night after night, and he sees his bedside manner. He sees what he's like during a game. I just feel like it is cringeworthy watching Tibbs. My son Jackson does a great growling Tibbs. It's perfect. It sounds just like him. And he knows because he hears it every game, the screaming. You'll wonder how Taylor feels about that style of coach. Because most fans get turned off by the constant yelling, the constant intensity. And you wonder how much that grates on players night after night, minute after minute. But it does come down to Glenn's choice. If he's going to have to make a choice.
Yeah.
Barring a trade offer that completely would knock your socks off. I was talking to Tony Landry before the show, trying to dream up scenarios that would make me happy. Like, could I live with this deal? You could look at Phoenix, and I like Devin Booker a lot. If you put a package together which included Booker and the number one pick in the draft, and, maybe another big guy, they got a bunch of big men. You add a DeAndre Ayton, who's supposedly the next Karl Anthony Towns, maybe minus the offensive game at this point, more of a defensive player. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on what it's going to take to deal Towns. I'd like this thing to work out. My hunch is nothing's going to happen now, but we're going to watch this season very carefully. And if things don't go the way we want, then maybe you make a move on the coach next year.
Well, I mean, you can't afford to wait. If things are bad today, you can't go into next season with the head coach and perhaps your best player going in different directions. It's going to tear the team apart.
But if you were, let's say, all right, so if you decide to make a move now, and let's just say Taylor doesn't want to part with Towns and decides to move on from Tibbs, well, then your front office starts over because Tibbs is one of those few coaches now with dual powers. And suddenly now you're heading into the draft in
you keep Layton
a month.
He's been in the team. I mean, so he's still the GM, right?
Yeah, I guess you would hang
okay.
on to Layton.
Right. I mean, if you feel like that you have these two strong personalities and if these two cannot work things out and you can't get them to see eye to eye on what it takes to be a team, then you have to make a tough decision. And in today's game, I know coaches are very important and coaches are valuable, but you still need players to win. Now, Brad Stevens has done a wonderful job in Boston, and many people are saying, is it Brad Stevens or is it the players? At the end of the day, you have to look at those guys on the floor because they are performing time and time again at a very high level and on some very stressful moments. Sure, Brad Stevens is doing a wonderful job in Boston, but you cannot forget about the job that those players are doing as well.
Right, and we'll talk all about what they're doing. It's been an amazing start to that series, and Stevens is getting full props, as he should. It's always been Ainge getting all the props for terrific drafting in the top five, making moves with the Brooklyn Nets to bring in top draft picks, and then finding guys like Marcus Morris and bringing in Horford and the right free agent. So Ainge has been the guy. Now Stevens has become the guy. Tibbs was thought of as Stevens is now not that long ago. Five years ago, Tibbs was the flavor of the day when it comes to coaching. Lots more on this. You're welcome to weigh in on your thoughts on what the Wolves should do if things are as icy as reports seem to state. 651-989-5326. That's the local number. Toll free, 800-320-5326. Just getting started. In the Zone on the Fan.
You're in the Zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on the Fan.
Take it.
can you catch my eye and then name you? All right, we are back. 8:21 on a Saturday morning. Full phone lines. Funny. We are talking about the reported icy relationship right now between Karl Anthony Towns and the organization Reed Tibbs. And that's a report from Bleacher Report yesterday, listening to a podcast with Zach Lowe and Brian Windhorst, where Lowe reported that Towns and Wolves are not in a good place internally. Windhorst chimes in, would not be unheard of if Cat surfaced in trade discussions this offseason, which naturally has Tibbs, Wolves Nation in an absolute tizzy, because, as I said, it would be a 100-0 percentage. Who would you rather keep conversation with Wolves fans? I don't believe they would entertain a trade offer for Karl Anthony. I guess I don't want to believe that they would entertain trade offers for Karl Anthony Towns. The story just sort of running now. It's an early in the off season, and we'll see if it has legs. It certainly has legs with you guys. Let's jump to the zone lines, see what you have to say, beginning up in Detroit Lakes with Andrew, who joins us in the zone. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Thanks for checking in. What's up?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me in the zone. So I understand you have to entertain both sides of the conversation as far as Towns being traded or Tibbs leaving. But as Corey Cove says so often, there's no such thing as 0%, but trading Karl Anthony Towns is about as close to 0% as you can get. People come to the fans put their butts in the seats to see Karl. They don't come to hear Tibbs yell. And as far as I'm concerned, this has been well documented all year long about Tibbs and his ways. And as far as I'm concerned, the sign of a good coach is that he understands each and every single player and understands how to get through to them to get the best out of them. And he doesn't obviously do that. We weren't a very connected team on defense, which is what he was brought in here to do. We were a good isolation team on offense. We weren't a good, good all around team on offense either. So there is no way in my mind that Glenn Taylor, he's known better over these years and learned from his mistakes, that you trade Karl Anthony Towns to keep Tom Thibodeau on this team. There's just, I don't see it. And lastly, one thing I have to say is I listen every week. Your boy in the sacks is so dang good. I love it when you guys play him coming from the break. It's the best. Thanks for my time.
Thanks, all Andrew. Right. I'm sure Danny Cues is thrilled to hear that. If he were here, he's touring all over the country right now. He wants to go golfing with us. I told him, you know, maybe you drive the cart if you want to kill 4 hours, but you're not going to pick up a club.
I might.
Really?
I might swing.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. We will play some Danny Cues bumper music. It's what we do. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, if we take all these calls, we're going to get the same, I think, flavor. I mean, Wolves fans would absolutely revolt with their pocketbooks if Towns were to be traded. I remember back when Tibbs was hired a couple years ago, I was excited. It was universally praised as the sharpest mind in basketball, who'd taken his time off and visited other coaches, other organizations to get a feel for what they do. And, you know, it was only a matter of time before he found the perfect landing spot. And with the young core here, this was it. You know, and I think back 5 years ago when Mike Budenholzer got hired from the Spurs to coach the Hawks. And I'm like, well, that's the unsexiest hire I've ever heard of. Who's going to get excited about a Spurs assistant named Mike Budenholzer going to Atlanta? And a couple years later, he leads them to 60 wins. And they decide to part ways this offseason. He heads to Milwaukee this week as a new Bucks coach. And now I'm absolutely thrilled that the Bucks have Mike Budenholzer as their head coach, because now I saw what he was able to do, how the players love him. And I think he and Giannis are going to really do great things in Milwaukee. It just shows you that you think you're excited about certain hires, or you think you're unexcited about certain hires, and you just never really know. Because Trent, when Tibbs was hired 2 years ago, there were very few people that said, oh man, that's never going to work. I mean, I think you were about as lukewarm as anybody I talked to, just about, okay, but you need the right kind of players, because this guy is not, it's not like vanilla, where everybody can handle vanilla. This guy is more of a, you know, mint chocolate chip with basil flavor. I mean, just a little off, and you have to be the right kind of person to like it.
Well, he's an old-time guy. He's an old-school coach. He's in total control. He's not going to change his personality, and you have to fit into what he wants you to do. And in today's game, you know, players are different mentally. And when you look at, you know, ownership now, they're looking for, you know, certain types of personalities to come in to coach these young players because, like you mentioned before, you know, they're leaving school at a very young age, and now if they go back to the old rules, they're going to come into the league even younger. And if you don't have, you know, the right type of coach who can communicate and connect with these young players, it's going to be a struggle, you know, throughout the season.
And the idea was by bringing Butler and Gibson in, the idea was, all right, they understand how to play for Tibbs. They'll kind of smooth things over with the young guys so they understand what this is all about. And that was kind of what we were sold all year, was that's what's happening. And look, we won 16 more games, and despite the Butler injury, still reached the postseason. But, you know, even Butler didn't sound all excited in his exit interviews about where this organization was. And
because maybe he's looking to move on.
Maybe. He's got one more year left on his deal as well. And maybe he says, you know what, this mix isn't going to do it. All right, let's go back to the zone lines, let you guys vent a little bit. We head to Dennis Minnetonka. Good morning.
Hey there. My name's Dennis. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So with that year off, what really upset me, I guess, kind of watching this year is what did he learn, you know? How many times did we watch Jeff Teague dribble up top until the shot clock down to 5 and then put some junk up, you know? The lack of, you know, making adjustments during the game. I don't know. I think I can guess his lineups through every part of the game, you know. 12 minutes of Wiggins in the first, then bring in Tyus. You know, it was just kind of repetitive, and I don't think I ever saw anything new out of him that I might have not seen in Chicago, right? I think our offensive game was tenfold better under Sam. I mean, I don't know how our offense regressed in 2 years and our defense has not made the jumps that, you know, it should have under a guy who's hailed as this defensive genius. So it's just upsetting, and I would never be a Wolves fan again after sitting through 13 years of, you know, just awful basketball and to watch us trade away a generational player.
Yeah, I feel you. Thanks for the call. Again, I think that's going to be the viewpoint of virtually everybody we talk to. And, you know, even during the season, Trent, when you have a guy like Jeff Teague, who is a quiet player, he doesn't voice, you know, his opinion. He's not controversial. He was even quoted late in the season, man, we got to play our bench more, man. These guys can play. These guys need their minutes. I mean, you even heard Teague kind of question some of the decisions being made by the coaching staff, and I thought that was maybe not a red flag, maybe a pink flag, because that's just not something Teague has ever really done in his career, is sort of speak up out, kind of passive-aggressive a bit toward the coach. But, you know, I think everybody was concerned by the minutes the starters were getting. You thought Bielitsa going into the season could be that X factor. You know, there might have been a lot of reasons, and he certainly battled a couple injuries, but not having reliable minutes and knowing from one night to the next what your role is, whether it's Bielitsa, whether it's Tyus, and then Rose comes in, and now is Tyus. That plays in the locker room, right? When you hear Teague actually go to the press with it, that tells you that players are not really on board with how things are going.
Well, you like consistency. I mean, as a role player, when you come in off the bench, you like to know when you leave home and come to the arena that you can prepare for your job every single night a certain way. I'm going to go in with about, you know, 2 to 3 minutes left in the first quarter. I'm going to play the last 3 minutes of the first quarter, maybe the first 5 of the second. So now you get mentally prepared, you know, for your job every single night. But when those minutes begin to fluctuate, and especially when you're a young player, sometimes it's hard for you to main focus and stay consistent. Now, veteran guys who have gone through this before, they know how to stay ready. You know, they can keep themselves prepared because they know at some point in time that moment may come. But when you're a young player, you may not understand how to keep yourself prepared. And when your number is called, you're not ready to go out and perform.
Yeah, and night after night, that just festers, right? I mean, just it's the long season. Nothing's ever changing. You don't get a chance to practice much to really show what you can do. And you've always been the guy. You know, these guys in college were the guy. And now you might get 8 minutes one night, 16 minutes the next. Nobody talks to you. You don't know what your role is. I can see how, over a long season, how that could really be detrimental. to young guys that you want to see develop into, you know, real players.
But the game is different today, and you know, it's not just about you know calling plays and running X's and O's. It's all about, you know, the psychology part of it as well. You know, how do I relate to the young players of today's game, but also how do I get them motivated to enjoy what they're doing, getting them excited not only to come and play, but also to come to practice every day to get better. And when you can create, you know, an atmosphere, especially at practice, that's exciting, where the players come in and they're hungry to be there, and they know that every single day they're going to take something away from this session that's going to make them a better basketball player.
Good stuff. We'll come back. Lots of phone calls to get next segment on the subject before we switch and talk to the actual basketball being played on the court. I got an email that you'll answer when we come back asking how would getting rid of Tibbs impact Jimmy Butler. We'll get your thoughts on that as we continue as the Wolves turn in the zone on the Fan.
You're in the zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on the Fan.
This is Noelle with Certix. Our Belgian and Wild Ale sale continues. We have a huge selection of Belgian and Belgian-style wild and sour beers in stock and on sale. Stop in for free tastings throughout the weekend. Details online at Certix.com. Shop Certix Belgian and Wild Ale sale in-store or online now through Sunday.
Our funky sax man, Danny Hughes from St. Paul, blowing that horn, bringing us back in the zone. We'll get back to the Tibbs Towns conundrum and get your calls in a second. Just want to props out to J.J. Watt, who is proving to be perhaps citizen number one of all professional athletes after what he did following the hurricane in Texas. He has reportedly stepped up yesterday in light of yet another mass shooting at a school outside of Houston. J.J. Watt has offered to pay for the funerals of all 10 victims in that massacre yesterday. And J.J. Watt setting a tone for all pro athletes to aspire to. That's just wonderful step by him to step in at an awful time to do a small thing, maybe in the grand scheme of things financially, but the peace of mind it can provide for other families in a moment of ultimate grief is to be commended. So hats off to J.J. Watt for stepping up a day after just another awful story out of suburban Houston yesterday. We talk about lighter things like can Tibbs and Towns coexist? Certainly not a story we thought we would be talking about a month ago when the Wolves were just celebrating their first playoff berth in 14 years. Reports are the relationship is icy, and Brian Windhorst going as far as to say wouldn't be unheard of if trade discussions were to ensue this offseason. We both find that very difficult to believe, that it would get to the point where the Wolves would actually entertain moving Towns, unless something has happened inside there that we haven't heard about. And I don't know what that could be, but again, as we've talked about since 8 o'clock, if the owner feels like he has to do something, and he wants to keep his fan base content, moving on from the coach would be the first step as opposed to moving on from the franchise center. We're on the same side of the aisle on that one, correct, Mr. Tucker?
Yes, we are.
All right. A number of you have weighed in. I want to hear what you think. Let's head to New Prague. Jake joins us in the zone. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind, Jake?
Hi, guys. First, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. My question's kind of two things, and you kind of just mentioned the one. If it came down to that decision where it was Tibbs or Cat, Does Taylor feel the pulse of Wolves Nation, and like how much does that come into effect? Because I'm in the landslide of people where it's not even close. It's Carl. And then secondly, I guess I kind of just I'm wondering what you guys think about this whole position, like president of basketball operations, because it sounds like Cat isn't the only one he's feuding with in the franchise when you mentioned throwing the computer monitor. So I guess I would prefer we went back to more of the GM coach method. I'll hang up and listen and see what you guys think.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. The trend now is to split those duties. I don't know, beyond Tibbs and Pop, well, Pop has R.C. Buford.
Van Gundy had it in Detroit.
Yes, but he's now gone.
Yeah, right.
Right? And Doc Rivers was stripped of his. There are very few grand poobahs anymore, and I think Pop certainly has earned that distinction. He's proven it, you know, with what that franchise has done, that's worked. Tibbs is now on a much smaller island of guys that run the whole show, and it seems like the league is getting away from that formula. The Wolves were a little late to the party, and maybe it's not right. Maybe it's not working. I would think that the owner knows, you know, where his bread is buttered as far as his paying customers. There would be I don't know, what kind of deal could happen that would appease Wolves fans to move Cat? I can't think of, and maybe...
Anthony Davis?
Yeah, but why would New Orleans...
They wouldn't do that.
No, no chance.
LeBron James? That's not going to happen.
No, you're not... move away from the top 10 players. You're not going to get a top 10 player.
Well, I mean, and... draft pick? I mean, that wouldn't do it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of tongue-in-cheek said Devin Booker in the number one pick.
That wouldn't do it for me.
That doesn't get me real excited.
No.
I want to address the email that I teased before the break. How would Butler handle, let's say these two guys cannot coexist. It's just awful. Taylor has to make a choice, and he says, you know what, I'll swallow my whistle, and I will pay Tibbs a huge check to walk away, and we'll start over with a head coach. How does Jimmy Butler, do you think, perceive that, since obviously one of the main reasons he came here was to play for his former coach? How do you think he'd handle it?
Well, I mean, you know, he likes playing for Tibbs, and he's a Tibbs guy. He may not take it very well, but the one thing you do know going into this year, he has to play this year. And whomever you bring in, whether you keep the current coach or you bring in someone else, Jimmy Butler has to play this year, you know, to get to the next contract. And
But is he expecting a new contract now with 1 year left on his deal?
Maybe he is. If he's not looking to test the free agent market, for sure he might be looking for a long-term deal. And like I said before, you know, there's a rumor out there that he's looking, you know, for $40 million a year. That's a big, big number. You know, but...
I can't believe that.
But, oh, you can't believe it?
I mean, don't believe that.
John Wall is getting $40 million a year?
Jimmy Butler doesn't strike me as the guy that says, I need to be paid $40
million. Oh, see, you know... You look at it from the outside.
He's a simple guy. He has small. He's not an extravagant dude. $30 million, $40 million.
He has a private jet. Okay,
understood. But right, at $30 million, you can still afford a private
jet. I have to believe that when you look at some of these other guys who are making $35-40 million a year, and if you're someone like a Jimmy Butler who you believe that can be in that company, you know that this may be your last contract. He's going to look to get every penny that he can, and if he can get to $40 million a year, why wouldn't he try for it?
No, I just, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Doesn't strike me as a guy that cares like that.
All right. You know, I know that a lot of people like to sit there and believe that, you know, but, you know, the rumor is that he believes that he's one of the top players in the game. And when you look at some of these guys who are out there who may not be as good as Jimmy Butler, who may not put up the same type of numbers as Jimmy Butler, and they're making $40+ million a year, I just don't see Jimmy Butler going the other way if he can put himself in that company.
To St. Paul we go. Aaron joins us in the zone. Good morning. Aaron, you with us? Aaron.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
We got you. What's up?
Say, I can think about 10 reasons why Thibodeau needs to go, but it just, for me as a fan, it's so just saddening to see what, before our very eyes, what is happening to this team. All these good players, all the animosity. It's just, you know, Thibodeau is like a wrecking ball. He's completely wrecking the team. But one thing I just wanted to ask you, how excited are you guys for the draft this year?
The NBA draft?
Yes.
I'm not that excited. Should I be?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Thibodeau makes the draft irrelevant.
Well, but the Wolves are drafting 20th this year. If they were drafting 4th, I'd probably be excited about it.
Well, I understand that, but still, you know, we still have a draft pick, and it doesn't even matter who we pick, because whoever we pick will never play. And if I'm like, who's the guy we picked last year,
Justin Patton?
Or Justin? I mean, don't you think he's, like, just scratching to get out of the Timberwolves' organization? I mean, he's never going to play. And anyway, my point I'm trying to make is that's just another example of why Thibodeau needs to go. Player development is non-existent, and to me, the draft doesn't even matter anymore.
Well, thanks for the call, and I'll dovetail a bit on that. When Jamal Crawford turned down his player option a week or two ago, you know, that might have been one of the red flags coming up, that there's a guy, he's 38, he came here because he felt this is a young team that could be in the playoffs, and I think he was due to make $4.5 million next year at 39. He's not going to make, I don't believe anyone's going to pay him $4.5 million. He will make less money wherever he lands. He wants to try to win, but you have to think that he wasn't thrilled with his minutes. He made that evident during the year. He thought he was promised more minutes. The idea that free agents that are going to have to come here for less money because the Wolves don't have it, chance to play in a winning team, but hey, we can't guarantee you more than 12 minutes because that's what Tib does, makes you wonder what kind of free agents can you bring in. The Justin Patton thing, look, the kid was 1 year out of Creighton. He needed to bulk up, get stronger, was coming off an injury, and then got re-injured. So Patton's sort of a piece of clay. We have no idea yet what he could bring. He still has potential to earn minutes for this team. But the bigger picture is Tibbs' style has probably turned off a lot of fringy-type role players that could help a playoff team. But without any guarantee they're going to get a lot of minutes, why would you choose this place, right?
Well, you know, his track record has shown that he does not like to extend beyond maybe 6 players or 7 players, especially come playoff time. And during the regular season, you know, he extended the minutes of his starters. He's a guy that just doesn't trust, you know, role players or bench players. And if you're one of those players who are looking to go to a situation where you think you can help a team win, knowing that this coach does not like to extend his bench, this would not be a good place for you to come, and it could hurt the team going forward because some of those critical role players who are sitting out there looking for a place to go, they may look to go somewhere else.
If Glenn Taylor picked up the phone this afternoon and called Dwayne Casey and said, "I made a mistake," how many years ago was it that they fired Casey?
That was a long time ago.
I'd say it's 10 years ago. I made a mistake 10 years ago. I see it now. I want you back. I'm sure Dwayne would sprint here. Would it be the right move for this team to have a guy like another, you know, old school guy, terrific success in Toronto, all-time winningest coach, fizzled a bit in the playoffs for whatever reasons.
Yeah, LeBron James.
That'll make anybody fizzle unless you're named Brad Stevens. Would he be the right kind of a coach, or would you rather see a, you know, a younger assistant type get his first real chance or even an older assistant, the guy from San Antonio that was filling in for Pop, the Italian dude? You know, he's 58 or 60, but he's won world championships all over the globe. What kind of a coach, if you were willing to write the $25 million, whatever it is, check to have Tibbs walk away, would Casey be the kind of coach you'd want in here, or would you want a different style?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with Dwayne Casey.
I mean,
you're
buddies with Casey. Let's just go on record.
Just because I'm buddies with Dwayne Casey, if I didn't think that he was the right coach, I wouldn't say, hey, bring someone in just because, you know, we hang out together every once in a while. But, you know, Casey did a nice job in Toronto. You know, his biggest dilemma was LeBron James, like so many other coaches back when I was playing. What was their biggest dilemma? They couldn't get past Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Toronto panicked. You know, when they decided to fire Dwayne Casey, I think there was some emotion, you know, that came into play. I don't think they thought this thing out clearly, but they made the decision based on what they felt like was the right thing to do. But yeah, Dwayne Casey wouldn't be a bad choice if that job opened up.
There was some rumors of a disconnect between their star player DeMar DeRozan and Casey, and we saw him bench DeRozan, who was struggling a bit in a couple games, couldn't get his 3-point shot figured out. And if that was the case, if there was that disconnect, the ownership there went with the player. We are not losing DeRozan. We know Case is a good coach, but for whatever reason it's not working, we'll side with the player. And in today's NBA, that seems like, in most cases, the way ownership would go.
Well, I think this situation would be totally different because DeRozan did not have a problem with Dwayne Casey. I thought there was a moment, you know, where maybe he didn't handle the situation the right way. You know, DeRozan doesn't get back in the game. The team makes a huge run in game number three. Sure, the media is going to jump on that. I felt like at that moment, Casey didn't handle that situation the right way. I think his answer to the question could have been different, and if the answer to the question was different, I believe Dwayne Casey would still be coaching today. But when you look at the overall body of work between Dwayne Casey and Coach Tibbs, it's like night and day. You know, Dwayne Casey is about developing his bench. You saw some of those young players this year get more minutes. They were able to become a bigger factor for Toronto, and that's why they won more games this year for the first time than any other team in the history of that franchise. It's because Dwayne Casey was able to develop some of those young players who came in to help this team move forward.
Including first-round draft pick OG Anunoby from IU. We step away, full phone lines, Mike, John, Matt, Nick, Sean, Preacher Man. We'll get to your calls next, and I promise before we're done, we'll break down the Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the NBA. In the Zone, on the Fan, hour number two, right after these.
You're in the Zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on the Fan.
We are back, 8:58. If you're just joining us in the Zone, you've missed an hour of speculation of what's going on at 600 First Avenue. Published reports by Bleacher Report that the Towns-Wolves relationship is icy. I took that to mean that the Towns-Tibbs relationship is icy. I may or may not be correct on that. In fact, emailer Bill in St. Louis Park writes, "Is it possible that Cat doesn't like playing with Butler? And picking a fight with Tibbs takes care of it. I wonder if Cat and Wiggins like playing with Butler. Some people may respond to Butler's style, but would think that there are some personalities that don't like to be told they don't work hard enough all the time." I think that was an interesting email, Trent. We talked a bit about it during the break off air. But many of us love Butler's hard-nosed style, his intensity on the court. Brings us back to KG at times, where every second he's on the court, he's working hard, and he does bark at his teammates to toe the company line and to play as hard as he does. And you wonder how some young players take that if they have to listen to that day in, day out. Can you see some of that, where maybe it's not just Towns being kind of bored with Tibbs, but maybe Towns and Butler don't mesh in their style?
Well, yeah, it can happen. I mean, you can bring in a new guy who comes from a different place, and he's brought in to, you know, to help you guys grow or understand what the coach wants you to do on a daily basis. And sometimes he can take that too far and go overboard, you know, with his messaging every single day, and it can begin to wear on some of the young players. It's like, you know, you take a role player who comes from a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, now he goes to a team that is trying to get there. Every day he's talking about, well, we did this and so and so, and this is how we did this in Golden State, and we did this in Golden State, and you guys got to do this, and you guys got to do that. At some point in time, you're like, hey, man, that's enough, okay? So let's just play basketball. You know, if I need some advice from you, I come to you and seek your advice. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, players still have to go out and play and perform. You know, but the conversation we're having this morning, if perhaps your best young player or you're one of your better players cannot get along with the guy who's running the team, and if there's some friction there, and if you look at the future of this franchise, first time they made the playoffs in 14 years, The guy who's in charge, the owner, has a huge decision to make. He has a huge decision to make. He went out and got a coach and allowed him to run the whole entire ship. He has to pay him $24 million if he has to make a decision to move on from the head coach. But at the end of the day, we know what that answer should be if it comes to this.
Yeah, I'll write the check. He can sign it. I think not working in Tibbs' favor is the fact that he's really the polar opposite of the late Flip Saunders. Flip was such an easygoing, not so easygoing on the court, but a player's coach, you know, a guy that the players loved playing for. And Tibbs, you know, is really the anti-Flip when it comes to, I believe, his personality with players. At least that's the way I perceive it. And so for youngsters like Wiggins and Towns to experience, you know, the love fest, if you will, the love covenant that Flip kind of had going on, and to now to see how Tibbs runs things, it's got to be a stark difference and probably hard for a young kid to wrap their arms around. Here's a guy that hugged them and joked with them, and now here's a guy who barks at them and spits at them when he's barking. I can see how there could be some problems.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most players don't get to choose, you know, their head coach.
Right.
And they have to either learn how to fit into what he wants them to do, make some adjustments, you know, to play for him, and then try to find their way within his system. And for a lot of young players today, they just don't have the tools to do that. And most organizations are looking for coaches who can come in and coach today's players. Now, my old franchise, the New York Knicks, that's what they were looking for. They don't have the talent that the Wolves have, you know, but the message, you know, from higher level of management is that we are looking for a coach who can come in and coach today's players. And the Wolves, if they decide to move on and make a change, that's the type of coach they may be looking for as well.
Zone lines are full. Let's get to them, beginning with John in Minneapolis. Good morning.
What's up, Mr. Sinigan? What's up, Mr. Tucker?
John, what's up, my man?
Happy NBA. Wow. That's all I can say. With a question for Mr. Tucker and Mr. Sinigan about the Green Bay Packers at the same time. But that caught me off guard this morning, fellas. I didn't know that Carl Anthony Towns was that mad at Thibodeau to put that out there like that. Now, if you're talking about the Wolves organization, it's not the Wolves organization, it's Thibodeau. Now, y'all were saying that there's a reason, there's not a reason for it. Oh, yeah, there was a reason. And I said it many a time. He traded away Zach LaVine. That kind of made Andrew Wiggins mad. Now, what he going to do? He fires the dude that's been working with Carl Anthony Towns behind the scene. I'm like this. He sent a message to Carl Anthony Towns, and I think he's starting, that grizzly bear technique is starting to get played out. I think the man should turn in his resignation and just go ahead and get his $24, $25 million, go on about his business, have a Coke and a smile, and get on. Now, the two people that I got in mind, Sam Mitchell, Mark Jackson. See, that's what the problem is on the sidelines with Thibodeau. He doesn't ask the players. He growls at them and all that. You don't ask them what they see out there. Is it something that I can do to help you get better? You don't see that, and that's what the problem is. Butler, Gibson, and Rose, they seen it before. It doesn't faze them because they're older in their careers. Now, I'm like this. Taylor has a decision to make. Don't let this drag out into next season. You do, that's NBA team suicide. Get it done. Go ahead and let the man go. Thibodeau's style is outdated. I said that before. It's in the 2000s. It's 2018. Years later, it doesn't mesh no more. The growling and stuff, you can't keep on doing all that. It's outplayed. Outdated, outplayed, dumb. But if you let him go, you can't just stay there. You got to go ahead and try to trade Wiggins and try to get Leonard. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need to get it. That way you have Butler, Leonard, and Towns. But I'm also like this. It's crazy in the NBA playoffs. I'm not even going to speak on that. I'm trying to figure out some things myself. Mr. Tucker, Mr. Sinigan, about the Green Bay Packers. Now, of course, when I heard old boy got cut, and I'm talking about Dez Bryant, I said, wouldn't it be funny if we end up with the Packers or the Vikings? Mr. Sinigan, Mr. Tucker, is it going to happen? Will the Packers reach out to Dez Bryant? Just a question. Y'all have a nice morning. I'm out.
All right, thanks, John. Quickly, I've weighed in on this. I doubt it. They drafted three rookies. They don't have an established outside guy to complement Devontae Adams. They might add a veteran if they go through mini camps and are not thrilled with what they're seeing progress-wise. Geronimo Allison right now would start on the outside with Cobb in the slot. They also have Jimmy Graham to sort of be that third receiver. I don't think Dez fits, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's still out there come training camp that the Packers might give him a look, but I don't see it happening. And that's not the discussion today. The discussion today is the relationship between Towns and Tibbs. Where do the Wolves go from here? What does it mean? How do you feel about it? I think Wolves Nation has spoken. The idea of trading Towns is abhorrent. I've already paid for my season tickets next year. I would go to my bank and try to refund myself and move on if that were the case. And I'm sure most Wolves season ticket holders would feel the same way. That's why I think it's a non-starter, the idea of trading Towns. Unless Glenn Taylor has said, look, this is Tibbs' team. I entrusted him. I paid him big money. I may not agree with everything, but he knows what he's doing. Everybody told me he was the best basketball mind available in the business, and I trust that. I mean, if he goes that route, it's just, you know, I get all these emails about what a jinxed franchise this is.
Yeah,
and at some point you look at ownership, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, for sure you can. You can say, well, it's his team. I put him in charge. He's supposed to know what he's doing. But if a head coach can't get along with his best player, then he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, and in this day and age, when you've got a potential all-timer, you know, that you can lock up now for the next 7-8 years, that's gold. That's beyond gold. That's something every team wishes they had. It's what Phoenix, with the first pick, I think, ever, or certainly in a long time, hopes that they can get right in next month's draft is, can we get the next Karl Anthony Towns?
Phoenix are a long ways away.
Granted, but it starts with the number one pick being a Towns type. If DeAndre Ayton or Luka Doncic or whoever they like can be a Towns type player, well, that now sets you up for potential success over the next 10 years.
Well, it could. I mean, but you still got to bring in some players that can help them grow. I mean, bringing in Jimmy Butler was a huge plus for the Wolves, and we all know that. And we talked about adding some veteran players, you know, to this young core. I mean, but if a coach is not willing to make some adjustments, if a guy is not willing to change. Now, Coach Pop, one of the best, one of the greatest of all time. LaMarcus Aldridge was struggling, especially come Western Conference playoff time. Many people are saying Aldridge can't play. He can't do this.
This is last season.
Yep. Okay. He went to Pop, who was in charge, and said, hey, I need to be traded. And Greg Popovich said, hey, you know, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I'm doing something wrong here. Maybe I missed something. This guy was an all-star type player. Performed at playoff time for the Portland Trailblazers very well. All of a sudden now we put him in a situation in the Western Conference Finals when we lose our best player in Kawhi Leonard, and everybody is writing him off. And I wrote him off. But I have to look at myself and ask myself, is there something I can do different so that he and I can coexist to make us a better basketball team? They did. Question becomes, can Coach Tibbs do the same thing to his best young player?
Can't imagine it.
Right.
I don't know him.
Can he make those adjustments? Yeah. Can he change?
Or admit that I didn't use you correctly.
Right. Can I look inside of myself and say, hey, you know what? I need to change and do some things differently. Yeah, I've always felt like this was the best way to go. But I always said great leaders in any industry has to look at the personnel, you know, that they're overseeing and figure out how to put them in a situation where they can function at their best.
To Bloomington we go next. Sean joins us in the zone. Good morning.
Yeah, I just don't really know where to start with this team. And you got to really look at the owner, a guy who says he wants to talk to Wiggins before he signs a contract. I mean, that's just the beginning. I don't know if this guy's capable of owning a professional team. The second thing is you watch NBA on TNT and you got to listen to Barkley. This is the dumbest team he's ever seen in his life. They don't fast break, but they got the youngest team in the league. And it just seems to me like Wiggins is out of shape. Seems to me like Teague doesn't want to run. Even though I think Teague had some sparkling moments this year, but my main thing with this team is Thibodeau. When a guy has got that sour look on his face and just ticked off the entire season, and this is the team he picked, but he's not ticked off at just the refs, which is another story all on its own. He's ticked off at his players, and I don't see another coach in the whole league who's just ticked off at his players all the time. But the coach yelling at the refs 100 times a game with just utter disgust, is that going to get you the next call? I'll just leave it at that. This is a team that's sunk.
Yeah.
They're sunk. They blew all those great draft choices they had. They blew it. And this team is sunk. They're junk.
I think we get the point. What I'll grab from that is it was a bit perplexing as the season went on, and the team's winning and you know, obviously making a big improvement. You rarely saw smiles anywhere. I can't remember Tibbs ever seeing him smile. Maybe at the end of the Denver game that got him in the playoffs, he cracked one. But it just didn't appear that the team was having a lot of fun going through the season. And ultimately, it's a billion-dollar business, and they're making tens of millions of dollars. But it's an entertainment product, and you want to see the players look like they're enjoying being out there. You're plucking down your hard-earned money and taking your family or going with your buddies to Target Center for a night and spending a couple $100. Yeah, you want to win, you know, but you want to be entertained. You want to get a sense that the product you're watching is enjoying being together and having fun, and that's part of the deal. And we did see none of that this past season. And that's not the only thing, but it just looked like it was a trudging through the season for this team. Despite improving by 16 games, I didn't see a whole lot of enjoyment, body language from the players, and I think fans definitely noticed that.
Well, it starts in practice, and the excitement and the enjoyment comes from going to practice every single day. You know, that's the grind right there. The games are much easier to play, you know, but practice. If players enjoy going to practice, and they know that every time we go here, you know, we're gonna learn something today. Today is going to be a good day for us, not only as an individual, but as a team to get better as we prepare for this long journey of a season. We believe we have the talent, you know, to be a playoff team, a consistent playoff team now going forward. We believe that with the development of our young players and keeping the right core of veterans, you know, maybe at some point in time we can advance come playoff time. But if the excitement is not there behind the scenes, you know, that's where teams begin to build and grow. It's behind the scenes. And they work on the things they need to work on to become better. If you can't find that type of enjoyment in practice, it becomes a struggle for the rest of the season.
Up next, Preacher Man joins the program. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good, man. What's up?
Oh, not much. I apologize for the bad connection we got last time. I inadvertently bungled my phone.
No problem.
I look at Tibbs, I look at Jimmy, and number one mistake, they never should have broke up our dynamic duo. I think that the trading of Zach LaVine absolutely tore the heart out of Andrew Wiggins. They were too close. And from that on, we lost Wiggins. Tibbs is a great coach. If you can get those guys with the mindset of grinders, but you're not going to win in the NBA today with a six-man rotation unless they're really superhuman in their stamina. And men just aren't made like that. You know, 12-minute burst, everybody's got. But after that, you gotta have a rotation. Boston is proving that. And I think that when you give, what is the old saying, Trent? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, right?
Yeah.
And when you don't have anybody to tell you you need to check this or you need to look at that. See, you always got to have somebody on your side with another perspective. That's why wives are good. Girlfriends are okay if you ain't got a wife, but wives are good. Because that's the other side of the conversation. And for some reason, Tibbs does not have another side of that conversation, which makes it very one-sided. And I do think, as much as I like him, and me and my son has this going thing, Tibbs created the Minnesota Bulls and at the same time created the Chicago Timberwolves with all these trades. I'm going to let you all go. Have a blessed day.
All right. Thanks, Preacher. On the LaVine thing, that's the second caller to reference the LaVine trade being a problem. Man, I don't know. I love Zach LaVine, and he's a terrific offensive player. He's certainly in a long way to go defensively. You know I like the Chris Dunn draft pick, and he certainly seemed to come on here his second year. But when you could get a Jimmy Butler, you know, again, young player, you finally get a guy in his prime, a top 10, top 15 player who's a two-way player to lead your team. I am not second-guessing that Butler deal. And whether it hurts Wiggins' feelings or not, a team can't be afraid to make a bold move like that.
No, not at all.
So I'm going to move past the level. Let's get over it. LaVine's a bull. Butler's a wolf, at least for now. And that's the way it is. All right, we'll step away. We'll get to a couple more calls on this subject. But when we return, let's talk some basketball. Eastern Conference style. It returns tonight as the scene shifts to Cleveland. And the Cavaliers hope to get back into a series, losing a couple of double-digit games in Boston. Can LeBron and Cleveland keep this thing going? We'll get Trent's thoughts when we return in the zone.
You're in the zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on The Fan.
All right, we are back, 9:23 on a Saturday morning. You're in the zone on The Fan, following us at 10. T to Green, the common man Dan Cole, today live from Golden Valley Country Club. Just a driver and a couple 7-irons from our studios in St. Louis Park. T to Green follows us 10 to noon today, then Saturdays with Sauce at noon. And I'm sure much more Wolves, Towns, Tibbs conversation with Meat Sauce at noon. We're going to talk some hoops this segment. It returns tonight after a couple nights off. The Eastern Conference Finals tonight from Cleveland, where Trent, the Cavs have fallen to 0-2. And for the 300 teams that have fallen to an 0-2 in a best-of-seven, only 19 have come back to win a best-of-seven series. Now, LeBron's teams have done it twice, but I said last week, I took the Celtics in seven. That was an unpopular pick. I would change my mind now and say Celtics in five because I do think this series is over. You have been a staunch supporter of this Cavaliers team. And what I mean to say is a staunch supporter of LeBron James. You believe he has enough to, you've believed all season that he has enough to get through the East. Where are you now after watching the first two games and seeing, despite what he scored, 21 of the first 27 in game two and doing everything he could, the supporting cast did not have enough to hold off a Celtics team. Despite leading by 8 at half in game two, the Celtics took over in the second half. Where are you on the series, and do you still believe Cleveland can take care of business at home, steal one on the road, and make it 8 straight finals for the Kings?
For sure. I mean, you know, Boston won 2 home games. Now Cleveland has a chance to go home to even this thing up. Now, the most important game for the Cavaliers, we all know, is tonight, game number 3. So they have a chance now to go home to see if they can get themselves together. There were a few things that Cleveland did in game number 2 that I thought that hurt them. right there toward the end of the first half.
Like what?
You know, they miss 4 or 5 free throws in the first half. All of a sudden now, 8-point lead could be a 12 or 13-point lead. There was a crucial turnover right there at the end of the first half. You know, they gave Boston a chance to score a basket going into halftime. So at playoff time, the little things will come back to haunt you. You can't miss free throws, you know, in the first half. You can't miss 4 or 5 free throws. And the best player can't miss 4 or 5 free throws. Even though he was having, you know, a wonderful first quarter and a wonderful first half, you know, but those little extra points that are free opportunities, you have to cash in on. All of a sudden now, 8 goes to 13. You don't turn the ball over at the end of the first half. You keep that possession for yourself. You don't give them a chance to score. You know, Boston was struggling in game number 2. But it was more of the Cavaliers giving them an opportunity to get themselves back into the game, made a difference, more than Boston being just so much better than the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And Boston has been perfect at home in the playoffs, but they're just 1-4 on the road. They have been nothing like the same team away from home. That's why you have to expect Cleveland's going to take charge tonight. And if they do, I think the storyline will be Korver and J.R. Smith started to light things up a little bit. They'll be more comfortable at home, and they need to get a whole lot more out of those two.
Well, you know, you have to get J.R. Smith some easy shots. You know, you have to get him in the game early. And if you can get him off to a good start where he sees the ball go in the basket, all of a sudden now he becomes a different player for you. But if you lose J.R. Smith by the first quarter, if he's out there taking shots that we all know that he can't make, and if he's not engaged in other parts of the game as well, then you may have to look to pull him, because you cannot afford to have a player out there now doing things that he should not be doing just because he hasn't taken a shot over the last 7 or 8 minutes.
So look at the big trade Cleveland made after the All-Star break. Trent, and the guys they brought in are not even existent in the rotation. Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, they're getting nothing out of
them. Well, they are young. You know, this is their first trip, you know, to this neighborhood as well. But no one thought the Cavaliers would be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Cavaliers. Why?
Because all this, well, Indiana's going to knock him out. Indiana went into game 1 and destroyed him. So there's no way LeBron James can get the Cavaliers, you know, past Indiana. Well, this is all over because Toronto. You know, this is the first time we believe that Toronto now is going to knock off the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like I mentioned before, Boston has a very good team. They have shown that they are much deeper than what we expected them to be at the start of the season. Brown and Tatum have, those two guys have been able to play and extend their games because of the injuries to Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. So now they have shown what type of talent these young people possess. But until somebody still can beat LeBron James 4 times, you know, the Cavaliers, to me, is still the favorite to come out of the East.
Yeah, at this point, I would be absolutely shocked if they win 4 out of 5 over Boston. The stat that jumps out to me, Trent, through 2 games that I would never have expected, maybe if Kyrie were playing, it wouldn't shock me. I'd still be a little surprised. The starting backcourts scoring 72-12 in favor of the Boston Celtics without Kyrie Irving. You know, it's certainly a testament to the guys like Terry Rozier, who's sort of become a star in this postseason. But 72-12, the backcourt for Boston has outscored Cleveland. And that Cavs team needs to get a whole lot better defensively, Trent, because they have been MIA the first 2 games. And, yeah, I expect a different result. I expect Cleveland to win tonight, but I'm not so sure they could do it 2 games in a row. I don't see it from your Cavaliers. I understand it's LeBron. He's been to 7 straight finals. You got to beat him 4 times. Well, no, they just have to beat him 2 times now in the next 5 games. And I'd be really surprised if Cleveland could still win in Boston.
Well, Boston has shown that they are a resilient and they are a tough team. You know, they have made some big time plays here and there. Like I said, the Bucks took them to a 7th game. You know, that prepared them for the next phase. The Cavaliers understand that they have to do things differently. They have to become tougher. You know, they're going to have to make some shots. They're going to have to go out and play a different brand of basketball from a physical standpoint. Sure, guys off the bench are going to have to step in and make a key basket here or there to give LeBron James just enough rest to see if he can carry, you know, this team, his team, to a victory. But, you know, if you're the Cavaliers going into game number three, yeah, you know you're playing against a very good team. Because anybody at this stage this year should be able to beat you, because Boston wouldn't be here if they weren't good enough to beat the Cavaliers. But they understand, you know, they can't go to Cleveland and expect an easy game from the Cavaliers tonight, because the Cavaliers are going to show up to play. And LeBron James has been in this position before. He understands the importance of game number three.
9:30, we'll pause one final time. Come back. Matt and Mike, been patient. We'll get to your calls, and we'll weigh in on the Western Conference Finals as the scene shifts to Oracle. What's wrong with Steph Curry? Can he wake up in time to get the Golden State Warriors back in the groove? We'll talk about that when we return in the Zone on the Fan.
You're in the Zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on the Fan.
It's our annual salute to savings during the Luther Memorial Day Sale, going on now at your local Luther dealer. You can get absolutely incredible deals on the Upper Midwest's largest pre-owned selection with reduced pricing on over 4,500 pre-owned vehicles, and that includes over 1,500 factory certified. There are 30 Luther locations in and around the Twin Cities. Find your nearest Luther location right now at lutherauto.com. It's the Luther Memorial Day Sale. Luther's your automotive authority. lutherauto.com.
We are back.
The thrill is gone away.
There is no truth to the rumor. This is the Timberwolves' new fight song. It's possible. But we're hoping that's not the case, as it feels and sounds like the thrill is gone between Karl Anthony Towns and his head coach and president of basketball operations, if you are to believe a report in Bleacher Report.
I thought you was playing this song for the Cavaliers.
I could do that, too. The story we have referenced is talking about a podcast between Zach Lowe and Brian Windhorst, where Lowe commented that Towns and Wolves are not in a good place internally. Windhorst chimes in, it would not be unheard of if Karl Anthony Towns' name surfaced in trade discussions this summer, which has Wolves Nation trembling in fear and disgust, and a revolt could be next. We'll get a couple more calls because a couple guys have been holding for nearly an hour, and we want to be fair to them before we weigh in on what's become now, with Houston rebounding, an interesting series. We'll see if they can steal one at Oracle with Game 3 in the Western Conference Finals tomorrow evening. We'll chat about that in a moment, but first, a couple of calls beginning in Invergrove Heights with Mike, who joins us. Appreciate you holding, Mike. What you got?
Thanks for taking my call. I don't know. It seems like if the Wolves were going to make a decision on Fibs and get him out of there, wouldn't that be the typical Wolves thing to do? Because when they hired him, they said they were trying to change the culture here. And if I'm Tibbs, and at the time when we hired him, he was, the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? He was the best coach available.
Yep.
All this defensive acclimore, all this stuff. And I believed all that. I still do. I think he's an awesome coach. I really do. Our issue with the Wolves is we didn't play good enough defensively. I mean, scoring sometimes was an issue. I didn't like how at the end of the game they gave to Butler the way he did, or at least some of his shot selection. I mean, you want to give him the ball, but his shot selection sometimes at the end of games wasn't very good. But it was defense. I mean, he was always barking because, Gorgie was always in the wrong spot. You always hear him freaking yelling. You know, you have Gorgie running all the way across court to get to where you're supposed to be. I mean, he was yelling because there's a reason. I mean, if they were all where they were supposed to be at all times, I'm sure he wouldn't have anything to say. But he's barking all the time because they never were good enough defensively. So that's my thing on that. But with Tibbs, if they fire him, I mean, isn't that Taylor's track record? Give him a couple years and then just pull the plug? I mean, if you're really trying to change the culture, you got to give him more than 2 years, 1 year with Butler, Butler's trying to figure out how to play with these young guys. These young guys are trying to, you know, learn how to play defensively. And if everyone's, you know, ripping Thibs because he hasn't been able to develop people, I mean, didn't he develop Butler from a late first-round pick? Was basically the same thing as a second-round pick sometimes. And he couldn't score, worked on his game, but he worked hard defensively, and that's why he got to play. If all these bench guys played better defense, I'm sure they would play more.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I hear you. I mean, I get it. They're not playing the way he wants them to play, but isn't it on the coaches to make sure that these guys are ready to play their style of defense once the games start? It's not, as you say, Trent, you get your work done in practice. You don't get to practice as much as back in your day. You had more practice time than what Tibbs and his staff have, and I'm sure that's a tough thing to deal with when you're trying to install a defensive system. You don't have as much time as you want, but you've got the summer, you got the off season, you've got the training camp. I don't know. I mean, I hear what he's saying. If they're not in the right spot, it's frustrating because you try to preach how to play defensively, but at some point, it's on the coaches to get that through to the players, and you can't just
blame the
players all the time.
You set them down. If they're not where they're supposed to be, then you sit them down.
That'll get the message across.
No doubt about it. If you take a player's playing time, that message right there would resonate as quickly as anything that you can put out.
But do you risk alienating superstar type players even more?
I have a backup. They're not doing what I'm asking them to do on the defensive end of the floor. They're breaking down. They're not willing to get to the spots they need to get to. It's hurting the team. So now if that's my argument, I can win that argument every single time. Because if you're not doing what you're supposed to do and it is causing the team to suffer, well, then everyone can support that type of argument. But if I can't find a way to coexist with my best player, and if I'm not willing to change some things to figure out to coexist with my young player, well, then that's a different story.
Yeah, no, agreed. And there's so many ways, directions to take this, from the defense to the offense. I mean, the offense statistically was top five for much of the year. But at times it was hard to watch, and I think a lot of Wolves fans grab onto the isolation plays at the ends of quarters, ends of games, where everyone's standing around. You've got gifted offensive players in Towns and Wiggins standing in place while Teague or Butler dribbles till it gets to 5 seconds.
That's what Derrick Rose did.
And pulls up and shoots. But that offense frustrates fans.
Well, the difference between Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler and Jeff Teague was Derrick Rose, when he was young, he was better.
Yeah.
he could break down the first and second line defender and make a play for himself because he was that good.
There aren't too many of those guys out there.
But physically, it wore him out.
Look at game one of the Western Conference Finals. James Harden dribbled the ball 550 times. Somebody actually counted 550 dribbles, which was more than three of the Warriors' main guys combined. Game two, entirely different offensive system. Houston changed it up and didn't run that James Harden just take the ball and go. They moved the ball around.
But it made some adjustments.
And it worked to a T. So you can, it's not illegal, copyright bump. Within series, it's not illegal to
tweak things,
make changes, feed off what you've seen, and make some subtle changes to try to win a ball game.
Well, but if you can't, well, then you're stuck. And if you can't make adjustments at playoff time, for sure, you're going to lose quickly. You'll be on the outside looking in very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Grab one more from our good friend Matt before we talk about Game 3 Western Conference Finals tomorrow night at Oracle. Let's welcome Matt in Brooklyn Park. What's up? Thanks for holding, Matt.
Sure, you guys, you bet. Hey, what would you guys rather be doing? Would you rather be doing the show this morning or counting James Harden's dribbles? I can't believe that. I can't believe. Is that like a new thing? Is that in the analytics world? Because I can't believe anything more of a waste of time. What do you think?
Well, you're right.
Somebody's getting paid for it.
Yeah, not a lot probably. but that is an insane number of dribbles. I mean,
they're paying somebody to sit there, you know, to analyze this.
I mean, really, it would take you 20 minutes to go through the game. It's not heavy lifting, but yes.
Somebody's getting paid for it.
Somebody is getting some kind of salary.
There you go.
Correct.
Well, Trent, I'm wondering if somebody got paid to count how many you and John Starks, if you played together, got back then. I doubt it. I just have
dribbles,
a feeling that
no need to dribble. Mark Jackson dribbled for us. You just keep dribbling and break your man down. We'll be standing over here. It's like Byron Scott told Magic Johnson told Byron Scott, hey, don't worry about dribbling. I'm going to dribble for everybody else. You just get open, and I'll make the pass.
There you go. Listen, Dave, I like the Budenholzer hire real quick before I get into the other thing. I think they're a shoo-in for 50 wins at least and maybe a top three or whatever. I think their roster is underrated, don't you, with Giannis and those guys?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential. I think adding the addition of Bledsoe, and he's, I think, one more year, so they'll have to see what they got with him. But Bledsoe and Brogdon together, I like the point guard position. They've got some bigs.
Middleton.
And Middleton, to me, and I've said it, I would trade Wiggins for Middleton right now if I were the Wolves. I love Chris Middleton's game, and I think he might complement the guys here a little bit better, but I don't think that's happening.
Well, you know, and you guys have already been antagonizing me today by mentioning Devin Booker, because that's another guy that Stan Van Gundy passed on 3 years ago to get Stanley Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded that Chris Middleton was with the Pistons for 2 years. They don't have Middleton, Booker, Domantas Sabonis, and Donovan Mitchell, you guys. And that gets me to my next point. Trent, you mentioned earlier that Van Gundy got canned. I am completely in the court of maybe they need to do this with Tibbs, maybe not fire him. But Monday morning, get rid of that, whatever he is, general manager or whatever. I truly believe that just doesn't work. There's too much pressure. And if Tibbs doesn't calm down, you guys, does he remind you? Do you remember when Tom Coughlin, he used to, his training camps were called Camp Coughlin, and everybody got so sick of it. And he was such a grouch, and he finally calmed down, and I think it really benefited him. And maybe taking that one thing from Tibbs would make him calm down and these guys would like him a little more, because even though Van Gundy has really screwed up the Pistons, if this here in town gets screwed up, I think it would be even worse. So let me know what you think about that, and go Celtics. I'm really looking forward to seeing them get by the Cavs. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Matt.
Well, Tom Coughlin had Michael Strahan. So Michael Strahan said, hey, man, you know what? Hey, you need to take chill, man. You know, I understand you want to be hard-nosed and you want us to be disciplined. We all get that, but, you know, your approach is a little too much. But when you have veteran guys who have been around for a while, you know, they can go to a coach and say, hey, you know, we need to look at something different. But when you have young players who doesn't have that pedigree yet, you know, it's much tougher for them to step into that office and have that conversation with the head coach.
But couldn't Butler do it and say, you know what, coach?
But Butler's okay with it.
Yeah, I know. But
he's okay with it.
Right, but if he really wants to see if this thing can work, he might read the pulse of these guys and go, it's not working with these guys, coach. We have to try something different.
Because he's carrying the same message that Coach Tibbs wants to carry.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's true.
So,
and that might be part of the problem with the young guys. They don't want to hear it from Tibbs. They don't want to hear it from Butler. That's not the way they've learned to play basketball.
Well, this is the deal at the end of the day. If Glenn Taylor does not decide to make a change, just say that these rumors are out here, and he decides that, hey, I'm going to stay with the head coach. He's going to keep his VP of operations job. He's the guy that's going to run this team. I'm not trading anyone. I'm not firing anyone. We're going to come back next year to start this season out as we finish the season. We won 47 basketball games. We lost to the best team in the Western Conference record-wise, you know, throughout the season. We have something we can build on.
And we lost Butler for the good chunk of the last quarter of the season.
So this is year number three. Well, then he's telling the players that they have to get themselves in shape.
Yeah.
They're going to have to respond to the head coach, because right now the coach is not going anywhere.
And, of course, the interesting subplot is
either you ship in or you ship out.
And Butler and Towns are both in line for massive deals. And whether those get done or not might be an inkling to where this franchise is headed.
Well, Wiggins got 148. How much did Towns want?
It'll be above that number. It'll be, I don't know, whatever he's entitled
160,
to.
160, 170?
Yeah, whatever that top number he's entitled to.
Jimmy Butler's going to be at 200.
And I'll tell you one thing. You got three guys making that kind of money, you're talking luxury tax, and Glenn Taylor will not pay luxury tax. That's three times the penalties, three times what the salary amounts to.
But they look at the money that's coming in.
I understand that.
Look at the money that's coming to TV.
But he's not going to pay $30 million or $50 million in luxury tax on top of it every year.
If you think you can win?
I don't see it. Don't see it. Don't see Taylor ever paying luxury tax.
If you think you can win, what Jerry Jones said years ago, when he signed Deion Sanders, he said, you're giving $35 million. He said, well, you know what? If I win the Super Bowl, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. They don't strike me as similar businessmen.
They're both billionaires.
They're both really, really impressive and successful.
They're both billionaires.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to take a chance.
Jerry, as the GM, is a bit more hands-on, though, than Glenn, for sure.
We don't know that.
Sure we do. Jerry's the GM. Do you think Glenn's going to go, you know what, I'm going to run this show. I can find players.
We don't know that. We don't know what Glenn's doing behind the scenes.
All right, can we talk about the Western Conference Finals? We have 5 minutes. And then it's Let's not enough it. Time because this is the series we've all waited
we
for all season.
We can't stay for another hour?
Well, I think Common is itching to talk about what he did on number three at Golden Valley.
I thought you wanted to talk about basketball.
No, yeah, I'd love to. I would. Although Jackson's got another game at 11:10 in Brooklyn Park. I want to get to that. For all intents and purposes, many believe this is the NBA Finals. The two best teams, Houston and Golden State, are playing. In Game 1, Golden State basically stuck a stake in the heart of the Rockets and said, hope you enjoyed working for 82 games on home court advantage. We'll just grab that right now. And they took Game 1. Houston made adjustments, as we talked about, moved the ball around. Harden didn't dribble as much. And they took care of business in a big way, in a dominant performance in Game 2. And now the scene shifts to Oracle. And the big talking point, Trent, is the fact that Steph Curry is really struggling from deep. He's 2-for-13 in two games from three. And they are putting him in a position defensively where he has to defend ISOs in, to the point where 15-13 in the first two games, the number of plays they've made Curry defend the ISOs. That's more than he's had to do in a game in 4 years. So they are trying to take advantage of Curry's height because they're also big and long, all the shooters on Houston, and trying for a mismatch defensively, and maybe his knee or ankle is 100%. What's your level of concern for Steph Curry's performance on either end of the court as we head to Game 3 tomorrow night?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
2-for-13.
It's 1-1.
He'll figure it out.
It's 1-1.
Kevin Durant's won.
Golden State did what they had to do. They knew that at some point in time for them to win this series, they had to either win Game 1, Game 2, Game 5, or Game 7. They've already got Game 1. If they go home and win three games on their home floor, they're moving on for another shot for the NBA championship.
Yeah.
The Houston Rockets now have to go on the road and win the basketball game in a tough environment because they put themselves in a bad situation because Golden State was good enough to go in there and win Game 1. Steph Curry, I mean, if we could go through the regular season without him before he got hurt, I guarantee you at some point in time, he had a two-game stretch where he shot 2-for-14 from the three-point line.
The team is...
It's just magnified now because it's playoff time.
Right, and the team is so deep with Hall of Famers that you can pretty much withstand any team with one of your guys being off because now Durant, Clay, and Draymond pick it up, and you don't even notice, except you look at the box score and say, oh, man, Curry was 2-for-13 from three. That's not Steph.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because, you know, playoff time, everything is more magnified, like I mentioned before. I mean, but Houston, it wasn't Chris Paul and James Harden that won Game 2. It was some of the other guys. What, 84 points from other guys other than Chris Paul or James Harden compared to 40-some points in Game 1?
They moved the ball around and got everybody
involved.
Well,
they got more guys involved. Steph Curry wasn't guarding them.
Eric Gordon woke up.
Steph Curry wasn't guarding them.
No, that's true.
Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, who were they guarding? Now, when they go to 1-2, 1-5, 1-3 pick and roll, whomever trying to get Steph Curry, you know, in a situation where he may have to guard someone like a James Harden, you don't have to switch. Chris Paul, you don't have to switch because Chris Paul is not going to just take that quick jump shot. He's looking maybe to get 3 or 4 or 5 bounces to get his rhythm to see if he can take you off the bounce. I believe going forward, Steve Kerr will make some adjustments with his defense.
Your cousin had a great game in Game 2.
Oh, yeah.
P.J. Tucker.
Yeah.
He was a difference maker. He did.
He made some shots. Trevor Ariza made some shots. Eric Gordon made some shots. So when you get production from other players other than your two stars, now you put yourself in a much better situation to win.
Ryan Anderson, he did get some action, but he's making about $20 million a year, and he's kind of a forgotten man in that rotation.
Well, you know, you have to defend as well. Yeah. I mean, at some point in time, you have to believe that a guy can come in, not only give you three-point shooting, but he can help you out in certain spots on the defensive end. But before it's all said and done, believe me, Ryan Anderson, you know, he could be heard from.
We both picked Warriors in 6 before the series started. We're sticking with that?
Yeah.
That still feels good to me. I took Celtics in 7. You took Cavs in 5?
6. Yeah.
They got to run the table, my friend.
I'm not going away from that.
You're sticking with that.
Hey, I've been down 0-2 before.
One game at a time.
I had the best player on my team. And right now, the Cavaliers, they had the best player on their team.
And they've been 0-2 and turned it around twice before with LeBron. I'm going to go watch some hockey today.
Not today. I got baseball today. Nice. But there's a hockey game with my oldest son up in Buffalo. I don't think I can make it back up there in
time. That's a bit of a hike from here.
Yeah.
I'm off to Brooklyn Park to watch the Minnesota Switch Club work its way through the tournament. Hope they have some success. Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
Do the same, Davey.
For Trent Tucker, Tony Landry, I'm Dave Sinekin. Thank you for joining us. Tee to Green is next. We're back next Saturday in the Zone on The Fan. Peace out.
Ain't gonna change.
You're in the Zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on The Fan. On the-